Before that reading goes too far out of our minds here, I want to just point out, it's important to note. So we're looking at Proverbs, I'm going to get into that. But that reading is a poem written from the perspective of wisdom, okay? Wisdom is speaking in that proverb. We'll get to that in a second. First, this month, all over our country, college students, college graduates are gathering, have been gathering in masses to hear the very last speech of their college career, the commencement speech, right? So they've been listening to, kind of business gurus, political leaders, and entertainers share with them little nuggets of wisdom. The aim of these speeches is to give wisdom to a group of people who are hungry for it. These college students are about to go out and face the real world, if you will, and they're a captive audience for any nugget of wisdom they can get from someone who has blazed the trail ahead of them. So I put together just a collection of some of this year's college graduate speeches from some kind of key leaders or whatever. So let's look at a couple of those. So the first one that I put together, Oprah Winfrey at JCSU in North Carolina, the thrust of her speech, the main nugget of wisdom was this: being human means you will make mistakes. And you will make mistakes because failure is God's way of moving you in another direction. Failure is God's way of moving you in another direction. Okay. It sounds good. I'll give her that. Let's look at another one. This is Bill Plant. He's the CBS News senior White House correspondent, and he was speaking at Loyola. And he said, "You must advocate for justice wherever you are. The world cries out for it." All right. I can get behind that. Actor, comedian, and Kansas City native, and Starlight, Dinner Theater spokesperson, right? George Wendt, he was speaking at Xavier, and he said this: "Give yourselves permission and time to figure out who you really are and what you really want, and above all, have fun." Have fun. That was his wisdom for the grads. And lastly, my favorite, George W., he shared this great inspiration and wisdom with the graduates of Southern Methodist University. He said this: "To those of you graduating with high honors, awards, and distinctions, I say, well done. And as I like to tell the C students, you too can be president." He said it, not me. So each of these leaders is trying to provide these hungry, teachable, captive audience of graduates. They're trying to give them a lens through which to view their upcoming and very complex world. View the world through this lens, whether it's justice or fun. But I think in the least, these lenses that we've just heard are incomplete. In the least, because if you view everything, every decision in life through the decision of fun, you are going to be in trouble. Even if you view it through, justice or something, it may not result in the best, wisest decision that you can make. So in the least, they're incomplete, but at the very worst, they may be grossly flawed in order to navigate the complexities of life. Each of these graduates and each of us, no matter our age or life stage, is looking for a key to navigate this life. We're faced with a myriad of decisions every day. Some are small and some are enormous. And what will be our guide? What will be our lens? I think we need wisdom, true wisdom. That's not often where we start, though. When we come to a fork in life's road, when we come to a tough decision, that's not usually the first place we start. Some of us, the first place we start is with a kind of moral code. In other words, when you come to a tough decision to make, you'll say, is there a right and a wrong thing to do here? Is there a right and a wrong thing to do here? Now, widespread in our culture, we can't hardly agree on what is right and what is wrong to begin with, much less use that as a lens to make decisions. But even if we could, most of life presents us with options that don't have a clear moral imperative. And if you're not going to make an absolute mess of your life, then you need something beyond just morality. Wisdom, true wisdom, is more than being ethical. It's more. We obviously know that to be unethical is stupid, right? Even like secular business leaders, they tell you to be ethical because it's smart, it's good business. But it's even more than that. You know, if you want to help someone, let's say you want to help a family get out of poverty, you can do that, and you can even do it ethically and still ruin their lives. If you are not conversant with the complexities of poverty, it takes more than just a moral guide. It's not enough to be people of high principle. Now, when moral code doesn't seem to answer our questions, the next thing that many of us turn to is knowledge. When we come to a tough decision in life, we think, okay, well, maybe if I could just learn everything that there is about this issue, that will help me make a wise decision. And that works really well if you're trying to decide, like, what car to purchase. But most of life's decisions, no matter how much information you gather, there isn't a clear answer to your particular problem or question. I think most of life are lived in between these two things. You know, we're presented with options that seem to be both reasonable, knowledge, facts, and morally neutral, ethics. Who should I date? Who should I marry? Should I stay in my job, or is it time to make a change? What school should I send my kids to? What should I do about my terrible boss or coworker? What should I be doing with my money at this stage of my life? These decisions are life changers, and a misstep in any of these can be devastating. A moral code isn't enough, and knowledge isn't enough. We need something that our culture talks very little about, and that is wisdom. There's no better place in the Bible to look at wisdom than the book of Proverbs. That's where we're going to be for the next 8 weeks. We're going to be looking at the book of Proverbs. We're using as a guide this series crafted and preached by Tim Keller at Redeemer in New York City. And he kind of preaches it like by theme. Okay, so it's hard to preach Proverbs by themes, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But he crafted a series that we think will be really helpful. And so these first several weeks, we're going to be looking at wisdom, which kind of weaves its way throughout the entire book of Proverbs. So how important is wisdom? I've started to kind of pick at it a little bit, but let me go a little deeper by looking at our reading. Austin, thanks for reading that reading. The first three verses, remember, wisdom is speaking here. It's a poem, and wisdom says this. He starts out by saying, "I, wisdom, am more important than silver." Goes on to say, I'm more important than choice gold. I'm more important than jewels. In fact, I'm more important than anything that you can desire. Infinitely more important than wealth, fame, or power. In other words, wisdom is saying, I am more important than any of life's circumstances. Why? Because more important than any life circumstance is the ability to live and deal with any of life's circumstance. Does that make sense? You know, we all know people who are extremely talented, who have all the credentials, who are beautiful and like full of charisma, and their life is a mess. On the other hand, we know people who have very little talent. No charisma, no credentials, no beauty, who are thriving in life. What if the difference between those two people is wisdom, the ability to navigate life when there is fame or there isn't. The ability to navigate life when there is money or there isn't. When there is power or when there isn't. I think the reason why many of us have that kind of sick feeling in our guts at different stages of our life is because we don't know how to navigate the complexities of life. We don't have the wisdom to deal with all of these situations. It's more than knowledge. It's not knowledge or morality we lack most of the time. It's wisdom. It's wisdom. It's more important than wealth, power, or fame. It's more valuable than anything else. Nothing compares to wisdom. It's illustrated so well in the Bible with the story of Solomon. He's like the poster child for wisdom in the Bible. And Solomon, God visits Solomon at one point and says, Solomon, I will give you anything that you ask for. And Solomon says, I'll take wisdom. I'll take wisdom. Solomon got it. Solomon understood that it was the most valuable thing, and it was something that he and all of us desperately need. So what is wisdom? Let's return to our reading. In verses 12 through 16 of the book of Proverbs, several synonyms are used for wisdom. And those synonyms are used kind of over and over again in the book of Proverbs. In our reading, the first synonym is this. Remember that this is wisdom speaking. Wisdom says, I have insight. That's the first key to understanding wisdom. I have insight. That means knowing how things really work. And wisdom goes on to say, I dwell with prudence, which means noticing little distinctions. So prudence, I know that's like a hard word for us to wrap our mind around culturally, but like think about Sherlock Holmes. You know, Sherlock Holmes had what this passage calls prudence, the ability to walk into a room that is just turned upside down and to notice the tiny subtleties that make him wise, things that are lost on most people, like his co-worker Watson. So Sherlock Holmes, so knowing how things work, knowing how things really are, and then lastly, the reading goes on to say, by me, by wisdom, kings reign, and by me, rulers make just decrees. What he means by that is not only is wisdom knowing how things really work, knowing how things really are, but wisdom is also knowing what I should do about it. What do I do about it? How things work, how things are, and what I should do about it. The wise do have morals, they do have knowledge, but they also possess a kind of character that enables them to navigate life even when morals and knowledge don't apply. Now you may be thinking to yourself, Dean, wisdom has not really been on my radar here. You know, I've mostly been focusing on being good or like learning more about the Bible. And so, like, do you realize you're just kind of putting one more thing on me that I have to, like, burden to bear of wisdom? Not only do I have to be good and know stuff, like, I now have to develop this inner character of wisdom? Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. Because wisdom, that kind of insight and understanding of how the world is and works will enable you to make the right decisions in all situations. If you don't have wisdom, you may be able to stay out of the ditch for a while, but ultimately, not having wisdom will result in catastrophe for your life. Even, what's frustrating is that even the right decision at the wrong time can be, like, detrimental. Have you ever experienced that in life? It's like, you want simplicity, at least just give me a right and wrong, but wisdom introduces this like third dimension of timing that makes it even more complicated and complex. So now you're thinking, okay, Dean, this is kind of a drag. You've pointed out to me how much I need wisdom and how little of it I have. Well, to you I say, hold on, I'm not done. It's gonna get worse before it gets better. I want to talk a little bit about the problem that we have with wisdom. Like, even when we start to understand wisdom and peel back the top layer, we still have trouble. So give me a second to give us context here. In verses 22 and beyond of our reading, the writer goes on a great diatribe about how wisdom was present with God in creation. Did you catch all that? On and on about how wisdom was there to help form the mountains and the heavens, and when the sea, the outline of the sea was laid out, wisdom was there. Why does the writer go to such extents to write about how wisdom was there at creation? What the writer is asserting here is that from the beginning of time, God has woven a pattern or a fabric of wisdom into all of creation. And we would be wise to embrace and go along with that pattern. If wisdom made the world, then if we align ourselves with wisdom, we will be in flow with all of creation, not kind of swimming upstream. What if that pattern of wisdom that was woven into creation from the very beginning applies to all areas of life? Like, what if there's a pattern or a fabric of wisdom woven into creation for our relationships? And if we go along with that pattern that God has created, our relationships will thrive. And if we ignore it or reject it, our relationships will crash. What if that fabric woven into all of creation applies to our spiritual lives? And so when we embrace it, we find ourselves in close, intimate relationship with God, and if we ignore it or reject it, we inwardly despair. Foolishness is rejecting those patterns and going against the grain. So there are two things that we need to do. Once we recognize a pattern of wisdom, there are two things that we need to do. We have to admit and see that there's a pattern, but we also have to admit that we don't know it all. Let me explain. So we are in Proverbs chapter 8. The first 9 chapters of Proverbs are basically an introduction to the book. And starting in chapters 10, it starts to really be Proverbs as you think of it. You know those like short, pithy statements, you know, that we're all familiar with Proverbs. That kind of starts in chapter 10 and goes beyond. And in the first kind of block of that is chapters 10 through 15. And in chapters 10 through 15, you will find statements like this. If you work hard, you will prosper. If you are lazy, you'll be poor. Or this one. If you raise a child rightly, they will thrive, and they will love you. Now, if you are a kind of a moralistic kind of person, when you hear phrases like that, you think, yeah, that's right. That's what I'm talking about. I've always said that. You know, if you work hard, you will thrive in life. And if you are lazy, you are going to be poor. If you really raise your kids right, they're going to grow up to know and love you. You know, I've always said that. The problem is that if you keep reading in the book of Proverbs, starting in chapter 16, you start to find exceptions to many of those rules laid out in 10 through 15. So you'll find phrases like this. Some people, even though they work hard, stay poor because of oppression. You'll find phrases like this. Some people who raise their kids right, when their kids grow up, they go off the rails. And if you are kind of more of a relativistic person, let's call it, then when you hear those things, you think, yeah, that's right. That's what I'm talking about. You know, like, I've always said that life is messy and you can't just boil this stuff down. You can't predict all of life. If you either deny the pattern of wisdom woven into creation, or if you think you are a pattern expert, then you will be a fool. You will be a fool. If you're a person on one hand that says, if I live my life well, then my life will be awesome, then you are a moralistic fool. And if, on the other hand, you're a person that says, you know what, I make my own patterns in life, then you are a relativistic fool. Our society is totally divided on this, and I feel like all the time we're just pushing each other farther and farther back into those foolish ditches. So I can't leave you there. So let's talk. You know, we're going to be talking about how to get wisdom in the weeks going forward, but I just want to give you a clue to understanding how you get wisdom this morning. Just a clue. Maybe there's a solution. Maybe we can start to get that wisdom. So let's do so by thinking this. What is the most basic truth of this passage? The most basic true thing about the passage that we read? I won't take your answers. It's a loaded question, but it's where I started. Wisdom in this passage is a person. It's a person. This is a poem written from the perspective of wisdom. Wisdom is I, an abstract quality, turned into a person. Now, that could just be a didactic device, but I don't think so. Proverbs was initially written for mentors, for kind of those farther along in life, to have an instruction manual to teach and empower young people. In that culture, it was largely young boys. So these great mentors used the book of Proverbs to help guide those young boys into wisdom. And wisdom is personified in the voice of a person, namely the voice of a woman. A woman. Wisdom in this passage is a woman who calls, who calls. So wisdom is not about mastering a set of rules. It's about a love affair with a person. What if this isn't just poetry? What if wisdom is really found in a person that you can know and love? The person that would be our ultimate guide and mentor and a stand-in for all the insufficient mentors that we've had in life. I'll end with this. There's other wisdom, ancient kind of wisdom literature out there that's not in the Bible. One of those that I came across this week is, it's a book called The Wisdom of the Son of Sirach, all right? And the wisdom of the son of Sirach ends, the entire book ends with this phrase. I want you to listen to this. Turn unto me, you who are untaught. Why do you say you are lacking in these things? And why are your souls so thirsty? I say to you, find wisdom. Put your necks under its yoke and bear its burden. If you are intent, you can find wisdom. See with your eyes that I have labored for it, and I have found for my soul much rest. In this passage, you find both a kind of a call, an invitation, and a challenge. You were untaught and thirsty, and I say, seek wisdom, get in the yoke with it, and bear its burden. So I wonder how the listeners felt when centuries later, a rabbi stood up and said this, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. These two passages are very similar, but they have one key distinction. One says, get in the yoke with wisdom and bear its burden. And the other says, come to me. Me. Jesus says, come to me and get in the yoke with me, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus is saying, I am wisdom. It's a relationship with me that will make you wise. Come to me and take my yoke upon you. It's not about memorizing rules. It's about knowing me. This is the part of the sermon where I make the very smooth transition into baptism. So you ready for this? Here we go.